So we are going to go over the test. Anybody who wants it, it's on the WhatsApp group. You can download it, and I'm going to go according to the questions. Okay. So, in that case, actually, let me also get the answers for myself. Okay, if you say so.
I mean, you don't want to take the test while you do
If you say so, here we go.
Okay.
From which verse do we learn this? By the way, I think 100% of the people got the question right. Should I open that also, by the way, to say so far how people did on each question? We could do that too, just for fun. Here it is. Statistics by question. Okay. 92.9. So almost everybody got this question right. From which verse do we learn the obligation of respecting the shul? Et mikdashi tira. Yeah. Okay, true or false? When davening without a minyan, it is best to daven in a shul. So here, literally everybody got it correct. Everybody said true, which is good because I think that people didn't know that before this course.
Are you looking at the percentage being from our group or the
Our group, our
our
group,
group?
our group. I could, for other things, we could look at other groups as well. All right, fill in the blank. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kufnun and Aleph passes that you are allowed to blank in a shul that is built with a t'nai. Notice that this was the Shulchan Aruch. So that told you. Remember, this was a three-way machlokas amongst the Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch took the most machmir position. So what was the answer? None of the above. None of the above, even if it was built with a t'nai. Not everybody got this question right. All right, why do Hasidim name their shuls shtiblach? So this is only people in this year would, in this program would get this right because it's not common knowledge. It's just mentioned in the Piskei Tshuvot. But what's the answer? C, to show that the shul has no kedusha. According to the Shulchan Aruch, are you allowed to eat in shul when eating for the sake of a mitzvah? So this is a little bit tricky. Over here, which question was this? This was, yeah, only 28.6 people got this right. So most people got this wrong.
This is one of the questions that I knew the answer, but for some reason I put the wrong answer.
Okay. So what's the answer here? What's the answer? The answer is A. Yes, even in a shul built without a t'nai. This.
When you think
So I understand. Well, B, but B is definitely wrong. Why is B definitely wrong? Because the Shulchan Aruch passage is like Tosfos. According to Tosfos, there's no difference between a shul built with a t'nai and a shul built without a t'nai, as long as the shul is standing. There's no difference. So there's not going to be any heter because it was built with a t'nai, according to the Shulchan Aruch. The whole point over here is that a seudat mitzvah is going to be mutter. And even that is not universally agreed upon. It just seems like that with the Shulchan Aruch. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch pretty much says that because he allows the Ibur Hashanah meal. And that's what Rav Avadia says. That's what's allowed. Question number six.
When you compare that to question three,
Right.
where it says the Shulchan Aruch
Right.
is not allowed for the
Right.
condition.
Well, it doesn't say under any conditions. You definitely wouldn't say that he says you're allowed to eat in shul. He's just allowed to eat in a seudas mitzvah. You wouldn't say he allows you to eat, sleep, and drink in shul.
Yeah.
But if you're asking specifically about a seudat mitzvah, then that would be allowed.
It's not the answer is
If we want to
not.
get into the semantics, then there's what to argue about. But if you want to get into what the question meant and what you were, what we should be going for, then I think it's pretty clear. Six, napping in a Beit Midrash is permitted for all, even laymen. What was the answer to that? So that was true. Number six, how did people do on number six? 78.6%, not bad. Is Talmud Chacham allowed to eat in a Beit Midrash? Is a Talmud Chacham allowed to eat in a Beit Midrash? So here, the answer was D. He is only if, sorry, according to Shulchan Aruch, only when he's learning, and the Ramah says, basically, whenever he wants, it's his house. Okay? According to the Shulchan Aruch, what is the latest time you can daven shacharis? This is a question that I didn't love.
Wow.
But
I guess very confusing.
during the Chazara, I was very clear. And I was clear on purpose. And I emphasized. I emphasized that according to the Shulchan Aruch, the latest time to daven shacharis is until the end of the fourth hour. It is the case that davening after the fourth hour, you get schar tefillah, but not schar tefillah bezmanah. So that's what was expected. And the reason why, by the way, you're right, but what it really meant was, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin, like Rav Yehuda or the Chachamim? That was really the gist of the question. And the answer was, according to Rav Yehuda, fourth hour. Are you allowed to go out of your way to your friend's house to greet him before Shabbos?
No.
But why? Because it's disrespectful. Okay? See. You are calling. Hold on. Let me just see. Okay. Everybody, by the way, every single person got that answer right. 100%. But the next question, you're calling your friend before Shacharis to see what time mikvah opens. Are you allowed to greet him on the phone call? What do you think everybody said?
B. I always say B, probably.
So, here, when you have an ulterior motive, you're allowed to say shalom. It was when you're on the way to shul, and you just run into somebody there, you shouldn't say shalom because then you're gonna get into a conversation. Okay, a lot of people got that wrong. 11. What are the reasons you're not allowed to take care of personal matters before davening? So I like this because we basically got into all the reasons for things, which I told you was important. What is the reason? What are the reasons?
B and C.
Good. B and C.
I didn't like these answers where they say choose all that apply.
Why?
Well, that means that there's more than one correct answer.
That's right. So that was true for every single question except for one. There was one question where there was only one right answer and they told you click as many as apply. There was one.
That's not a fair way of
phrasing your question. Well, this is the Silicon Valley and universities as well. That's for sure.
The click as many as you apply or that one case?
Click as many as you want. All of them are done.
Yeah, that's no good? Okay.
Is there any situation where it's like a bomb?
Yeah, where's like a bama? That's when you go to talk to your friend before going to shul. That's the bama. That's why I emphasized what the reason were, because it was a different reason given in the Gemara for all the three things that you're not supposed to do before Shabbos. Different for Shacharis.
Why is pain not included in the end?
Because that's not, the Gemara is talking over there. This question is about taking care of personal matters. No, taking care of his matters is doing your business and whatever. Talking to your friend, the Gemara gives different categorizes them differently.
But I thought, going to see your friend, you haven't seen for a while because he's your friend and you want to talk to him.
No, that was a different halach. That was making him into a bama. Okay. Here, you're talking about being disrespectful. Okay, question number 12. According to Rosh Hashanah and Orbach, are you allowed to shave before davening?
This is a totally ridiculous question.
Why?
Look at the choices.
I know. So this is an annoying one. Why was it annoying?
Because A and C are the same.
Because A and C are the same. A and C are the same, and they were the right answers. Yes, A and C are the same, and they are the two right answers. 62% got that right.
Yeah. I've seen it now for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the issue of that? If you wake up hours and hours before.
That's if you have a set minion. Yeah, that's right. That's one of the answers. And that's two of the answers.
But even if you have a set minion, get up last side, mission that they can.
You could do whatever you want, according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. That's a huge head there. Which one?
I was trying to put that in the linguistics. Now I see that they're both the same thing.
They're the same, yeah. Right. It's not fair. It's not a fair question.
You know what?
It's not a fair answer. It's not fair answers. Okay.
He is not a master.
On the other hand, I'm going to be down the cuff squid. I think he doesn't want anybody to get all the answers right.
Well,
it's possible.
Why?
Because that's exactly. According to the Rivat Ephraim, exercising before Shacharis is permitted when which of the following criteria are met?
So it is B, C, and D.
Yes, B, C, and D.
I just knew that was a smart. Although the whip raised
this obviously didn't exercise.
Why?
It's a lenient. Because it also
it's lenient.
It can exercise before. It's more convenient.
And as long as you say brachot. Yeah.
Do you think there was a time exercise?
I don't know. Maybe. So I find that hard to believe, but if you say so. Oh, you added that, but that's not, he doesn't say that, though.
You didn't bring it up, and if you didn't bring it up, probably means it's not part of the Torah, and you're not allowed to make it your own rules. So yeah, I need to exercise, or I need to bake cookies because I like to.
The question was, what does he say? That was the question. What does he say? You know, what are the reasons given for forbidding to eat before davening? Okay, so here it's a reason. Okay, so here's a reason, and there are two answers here. What are the two answers? C and D. Lo tochlo adam, and that it's haughty. Al tikri gavecha ela goyecha ela geecha.
Is that not, by the way, is it not, what's the word?
Which one?
It's lo tochlo adam.
Yeah. Why? Lo tochlo adam. Lo tochlo adam.
By the way, if you can't be.
What can you do? That's what it says. That's what it says in the Torah.
If you look at answer D, accepting the yoke of heaven, look at how it's spelled, the yoke.
Is it Y-O-L-K? It's Y-O-L-K?
Y-O-K-E.
Y-O-K-E?
Yeah. He wrote Y-O-L-K, which is part of the A. The A has been Y-O-L-K.
Hold on. Yeah. No, no. I'm saying he wrote Y-O-L-K.
Yeah.
Right. That's the yoke of the egg. Yeah, because spell check is not going to fix that.
It's feedback. Can't he write that he wrote in Hebrew?
He's predominantly for Ashkenazis.
Practically the Hebrew letters.
So maybe it's not possible in this class marker thing. Otherwise, I assume he would have. It must be, no, because I'm telling you that in the Word document, it is. It's in Hebrew. So it must be that in class marker, there's no way of doing it. Which is surprising because you could have written your answers, your short answers, you can write in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And actually, it's hard to believe. No, yeah, it can't be that there's no right to write in Hebrew because all the Hebrew speakers got their test in Hebrew. I assume he did it this way because there are people who don't read Hebrew. There are people, especially in Chutz Lars. You don't. It's the teacher teaches. I don't know.
Is your source book in English?
No. That would be way too hard. All right. You're traveling for business with your religious business partner and will not have access to a minyan for Shacharis. So you're allowed to learn before davening. So this is nobody who didn't take our course would be able to get this answer. What was the answer? C. Yes, if you're learning alone, since your business partner can remind you. Okay. True or false? If you're weak, you're exempt from davening with a minion. I think everybody got this right. 16. Did everybody get this right? 92.9%. Almost everybody. You're allowed to miss minion for the sake of making a living. Okay. So here was a distinction, right? Between A and B. And what was the right answer?
Prevent the loss of money.
A, right? The Aruch HaShulchan says that B would also be correct, but that's not everyone. the majority opinion is A. That's everybody agrees with that. B, there are some who say that. You need to travel up to a meal out of your way to daven with the minyan. How is the meal calculated? Machlokas. Yeah, that's a classic Jewish answer. Machlokas. True or false? According to both Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, davening with 7 people who did not daven and 3 people who already davened is considered tefillah b'tzibur? No.
So they say that the answer is that you had to have 10. That's what they held.
Everybody agrees that you can daven with 6 people who didn't daven and 4 people who didn't. That you can say Kaddish, you can say Kedusha. Everybody agrees with that. Question is whether it qualifies as tefillah b'tzibur. And there's a machlokas. Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach say no. We saw that Rav Avadya and the Chavos Da'as say yes, say no, and the Minchas Yitzchak say yes. To be tefillah b'tzibur. They don't say you can't do it. They don't say you can't do it. They just say you need 10 who have not yet davened in order to do it tzibur. Yeah. The Gemara teaches that you need to enter 8 tefachim into the shul before beginning to daven. What does this mean? Easy answer.
Yeah.
Click as many as apply. Right? Everything except for?
C doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, it does not make sense. In fact, actually, I think most people, if you ask them why they think this halacha exists, they'd probably say C.
I put A, B, C, D. I thought they were all.
So C was not right. But it's not the reason given by the three Rishonim that were mentioned.
So how many points did you get on that? You put A, B, C, and D.
I got 9.3. So 4.9.
Really? So they did give you. Okay. I thought that if you wrote a wrong answer, they don't give you any credit, but I guess they do.
Yeah. I could watch.
So that means, by the way, that if you see a click as many as you apply and you don't know the answer, you should just click them all.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to dive in front of a mirror?
No,
even if your eyes are closed.
Looks like it doesn't.
Right. That's the most chamor one. Our group of Yeshua boys are on a hike and they stop at the mincha. One of them notices what seems to be human excrement on the ground. What should they do to be able to dive in? No. Behind you doesn't help. I was really clear. Behind you doesn't help. Behind you could help for erva, maybe, if you don't see it. But the fact that there's poop behind you doesn't help.
And the fact that there is sick as many as apply in this
room. Why? Oh, because it's only the first one. It's only A. Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. That's not fair. It's not fair. You should have just given it as a regular answer.
I think you should make up a test.
No, thank you. Are you at the bench? I could have given him feedback. And the truth is that there were two that I wanted to give him feedback about. One was the tefillah, the shacharis one in the morning, fourth hour. And this was the other one that I wanted to tell him I didn't think they were fair. But I didn't. Are you allowed to bench if there's a baby next to you that soiled his or her diaper with excrement? I don't like that he put this question on the test because I thought it was just a small point. And I think there are so many better questions that we could have dealt with. 100%. Kufnu and Aleph really got a short shrift. I agree. But we learned it. That's good. Right. So it was... A, yes, if there's no foul smell and the baby is wearing pants and a onesie that covers the diaper, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Kissing a child or friend out of love is permitted in shul because avat chinam is a great mitzvah. It's a nice line, but obviously false. Let's see, did everybody get that? It should be like one of those obviously. Which one is it? Yeah, 100%. Oh, the next one, 100%, everybody got. Oh, this is nice. It's good to know.
Kissing a child out of love.
Yes.
Because we did learn that if a child is crying and you want to quiet him down.
Correct.
It's okay to hug him and kiss him.
The good news, 100% got the next question right, which is not an easy question. When should Birkas HaShachar be recited? This is a hard question. And everybody got it right. It's hard.
It's very hard.
You have to read it carefully, the answers you have to read. And you could easily get confused. You could easily ignore the word ideally and see. And you know what? An answer with A, which is not obviously wrong at all. In fact, it's not wrong. A is not wrong, but C is righter. But 100% of people got it right.
There was a lot to read.
Yeah.
The answer A is the second part correct. The my even with not everything.
Yeah, they're exact. They're identical. No.
Even not the requirement.
Yeah, which is the same. A and C are exactly the same, except for the word ideally, which is probably why people figured it out. Yeah. Which is the bracha? Every 100% of people got this right as well. Which is good news for Kavana. Bracha of Ozer Yisrael B'Gvara is referring to B, separation between heart and erva. According to Shulchan Aruch, if you recite the blessing of Zokef Kufufim before Matir Asurim, you do not recite Matir Asurim. 100% got this right. 100%. Okay. You're right. That's true. Are you allowed to recite the bracha of Shas Sadi Kol Tarki on Yom Kippur? This is a hard question. So, right, it is a machloket, but the correct answer is C, which is the addition of the grub. On Shabbos, how do you get to the required 100 brachas? I think we said it. Yeah. I mean, I think each person needs to figure out whether they say it, but I think in the art school they probably have it. On Shabbos, how do you get to the required? We didn't say it at Mincha or anything.
Don't say this bracha.
Right. No, nobody said that.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody announced at the end of Tisha B'Av, go put on your shoes and say Shas Ali Kol Tzarki. So yeah. On Shabbos, how do you get to the required 100 brachos? This is a nice, easy question. All the above. What is the level of obligation to recite Birkas HaTorah? Okay, So here I could have argued with him also. The way we learned it, A was correct. Yeah. There is room to say, in fact, Rav Asher Weiss, Rishonim and Mefarshei HaRambam say that even the Rambam agrees that the bracha is daraita, it's just not a separate mitzvah. Mm-hmm. But that's not usually the way the sugya is learned. I'm telling you. All right, true or false? You woke up in the morning and thought of a beautiful Dvar Torah in the parasha. You're allowed to write it down before reciting Birkas HaTorah, as long as you make sure not to utter any words. So yeah, this is a little tricky, right? Meaning, you might have thought that, okay, you're being sure, so then it doesn't work like that. Shulchan Aruch, especially because the Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything about uttering any words. That was the Mishnah Berurah's explanation of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch just said you can't write without saying Birkas HaTorah. The Mishnah Berurah said, because you might say some words, but that's not necessarily what the Shulchan Aruch thinks. When does Av Adullah Mevarabah act as Birkas HaTorah? I think this was the question that everybody got wrong, that most people got wrong. I think, 21% got this right. So a full almost 80% got this wrong. Why? Because they said C.
Yeah.
That's right. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, Lamaisa, even if you didn't learn right after. It only half downloaded?
They only
have downloaded. Wow.
For the
payment. It's weird, though.
If you want to download the rest, yes, but we're inside.
That's weird.
So which number was
that? That was number 32. And number 32, the answer was D. Even if you did not learn immediately after davening, which is what the Mishnah Berurah says. That's why he says, once you finish davening, you don't have to say Birkas HaTorah. La'alacha. Which of the following verses are allowed to be said before reciting Birkas HaTorah? What was the answer here? Look, as many as apply. I kind of didn't like this one either. What were the answers here?
B, C, and E.
B, C, and E, right? B, C, and E. Is that Mark?
Yeah.
B, C, and E are correct. I am not happy that we're not giving A the... We said that the Mishnah Berurah says clearly that's what the Rama meant. I'm completely unconvinced that that's what the Rama thinks. The Rama explicitly says that you can say verses without saying Birkas HaTorah, and then he just gives you the order that you're supposed to say Birkas HaTorah right after saying Asher Yatzar. The Mishnah Berurah says, oh, that means that the Rama changed his mind. I'm completely unconvinced by that. But Lamaisa, all of the Kitzer books say not to say Psukim before learning Torah. So that's why that's the answer. You stayed up learning all night on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah night. Should you recite Birkas HaTorah in the morning? So what did Rabbi Kiva Eger say? That's right. But which one? There's two Rabbi Kiva Egers.
I thought it was B.
You thought it was B? Not so bad.
I was wrong.
If you slept during the day, a serious sleep in the day, in bed. Which parsha of the Korbanos do most poskim agree should be said daily? I think 100% got this right. Yeah, 100% got this right. The Tamid, A. According to the Mishnah Berurah, should you shuckle when you daven the Amidah? What? The Mishnah Berurah says this. Yeah. You should do whatever you help you concentrate the most. See? It is, but... The Mishnah Berurah, that's the Shulchan Aruch, that's the pasuk that's quoted. But the Mishnah Berurah says you should do whatever you want.
That's
I thought he says you're not supposed to go side to side.
He also said that.
The technical answer to the question is rather yes or
no. No. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, do whatever works best. That's what his answer, that's what he says to do. He uses the word, he uses, not verbatim.
He also said you're not supposed to stand and move your head.
You don't like the semantics of the question. Okay, but again, the meaning of the question I think is clear, and the meaning of the answer is clear.
That's a stupid answer. People are about, you know, that's the stupid answers, like, not the stupid answers, but answers that are clearly wrong.
Right.
Like, you know, kissing a child,
Right, but here, but here, if you remember the Mishnah Berurah, you know the Mishnah Berurah says you should do whatever it reminds you. I understand. You're right. You're right. But here, 64% got it right.
A better phrasing would be, what is the Mishnah Berurah's opinion about shuffling?
Correct. You're right. You're right.
Then you got it.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Why is it forbidden to speak during Pesukei Dezimra? Because of B.
The hefsek, but because of the two brachas.
Right, that's right. And it's not you are bending the pipes. What's you are bending the pipes from? That's, well, saying Pesukei Dezimra after, not saying Pesukei, like the prakim out of order, but saying Pesukei Dezimra afterwards, that's bad.
Who said that?
The Kabbalists.
Yeah,
I think so. What should you do if you did not have Kavana when reciting Poteach Adedecha and are in the middle of the next paragraph of Pesukei Dezimra? What was the answer? It was A, right?
Very unusual.
Yeah.
But that's what we said?
Yeah. And it should be in the order of things that you have to say that Kavana
was. It should. It should. You're right. When the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, to which,
that question.
It was A.
What should you do if you did not have Kavana when reciting Poteach Adedecha in the middle of it, and in the middle of this paragraph? And the answer, you need to repeat it.
Poteach Adedecha.
And carry on. No, it's unusual.
Well, because he said you're in the next paragraph.
I wasn't sure what he meant by it.
It's not the most people done on it.
That's
right. What, the fact that after saying that you should start, that you should read the paragraph again?
Yeah.
Well, if you have time. If you have time. I think if you're running out of time, you're not going to do that. If you're running out of time and you're just saying Ashrei and then Yishtabach, then you're not going to do that. What in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, to which of the following do you not answer? Click as many. D? Just D, right?
Just D.
So this is a not a good one, right? Yeah, not a good one. So we said, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that it's not in the Rambam. The Rambam has Titkabel Tzlaton in his Kaddish and no Amen. No Amen, like Lechatchila, like no Amen. So the fact that we say Amen to Titkabel Tzlaton is a surprise in and of itself. No, I'm sorry. I just misspoke. No. The Rambam has Yitzmach Burkanei. Wait, yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
And for that,
but he doesn't say Amen.
How about Sotom? We don't say it because it's not the two ones that we say it. The two that we say are Amen Yeshmei Rabba and Damiran Baal. The two main ones.
Why is it?
Those are the two main ones. The other ones are not main. Yeah, that's why.
Shows that Nusach Sfard is wrong.
Why does it show that Nusach Sfard is wrong?
No, not wrong. Because you don't have. Don't say Amen after Viyatzma.
Oh, Viyatzma, we're going to have a Gemishay. I mean, even the Raman didn't have it. Didn't say Amen. Okay, so true or false? If the time for Shema is about to pass and you're in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra, you should recite all three paragraphs of Shema.
Yeah, I think we're
only the first is correct. So that's why it's false. If you come late to Shema.
No, the answer is
true. Sorry. No, it's true. Right, because this is, yeah, because you're not doing things out of order. So you should. This is true. Yeah. Oh, not over here. If you come late to shul on Shabbos, you need to skip parts of Pesukah Dezimra, which of the following takes precedence? Nishmas. Out of all of these, the only one that for sure takes precedence is Nishmas. According to Rishon Zalman Rabach, you're allowed to skip parts of Pesukah Dezimra in order to begin davening the Amidah with the Tzibor, but you should not skip parts of Pesukah Dezimra to begin the Amidah with the Chazan.
True.
True or false?
True.
When is Kaddish did Kabel recited? I love these. He did all of them. I'm happy. 43. When is Kaddish did Kabel recited? After the Amidah or Slichos. I mentioned that Rabbi Salvechik, well, it is the Halacha, and I mentioned that Rabbi Salvechik pointed out that Slichos is its own, it's like the Amidah, because you say Kaddish. What's going on over here? It's Kabel. When is the half Kaddish recited? To separate between two parts of davening. And when is Kaddish Shalem recited? After learning three verses. So I asked, I had somebody who's learned. I had a learned person look over the test and had him try to answer. And this is, these three questions, you didn't get any of them right. You didn't get any of these questions right. Yeah. You're a gabbai. But put yourself in the shoes of somebody who all he does is come to shul to daven, and let's say he's never even said Kaddish. You don't know what's going on. Like, why is it this one, that one? I don't know. But we should. Oh, absolutely not. Definitely not. But especially these questions, which we should know. We should know what Kaddish we say and when and why, and we don't. But now we do. So people who have said Kaddish for a parent probably will know when to say Darabanan and when to say the not Darabanan, because they do it every day. But they don't. They may not even know why. They may not know the distinction between in Kalokenu and Aleinu. Like, what's the difference between them? No, I wouldn't. I knew Titkabel. I knew that. That I knew. Two members of your minion are reciting Kaddish and finish 5 seconds apart from one another. Who should the answer? Who should the answer I made to? Both. I said 5 seconds, right? I said 5 seconds, yeah. The 10th man of your minion leaves in the middle of the silent chakras Amida. What is the chazan allowed to say? Yeah,
none of you can't do anything.
Right.
So the question about, you know that you're not allowed to do the open.
Right. Well, you wouldn't even be doing Chazarat HaShatz. So how would you do Duchening?
I might say nothing. They were waking up at night for the humans.
Yeah.
How about the work that was done?
Yeah.
But they left during the chapter and started up with the Chaz.
Then you can't do Birkat Kohanim.
You can't. Well, what does that happen? He doesn't even say it at all.
He'll probably, I don't know. I guess he would say Elokeinu. Would he say Elokeinu? Probably.
Well, if you're in Chazar HaShatz and you don't have a minion,
if you're in the middle of Chazar HaShatz and then you get down to 9, would he say Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu?
Why not?
Because it's a stand-in for Birkat Kohanim, which you're not saying.
Right. So then that would. That was.
I don't know. I think it's probably written down. But
if we would say Kaddish Titkabel after the Amida with only 9 people remaining, the 10th leaves during Chazar HaShatz, then why would we not say part of Chazar HaShatz?
The question is whether it's really part of Chazar HaShatz or whether it's an addition. Like at Mincha. At Mincha, where we're not duchening. Nobody duchens. We don't say it. Although in principle, we should. At Mincha, we don't say Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu. Yeah, because then you could duchen. But my point is this. Mincha, even on a weekday, regular weekday, in principle, we can duchen. We don't. And we never do. But we could, and we should. If we could make sure that nobody would be drunk, we would. Mincha is not pasul for Birkat Kohanim. But we don't.
And at times when that mincha we do, but it's too late or there aren't any Kohanim.
You wouldn't say look in every Kevatin. On a fast day, Mincha and Yom Kippur, we don't say Elokeinu in the middle of Mincha. And we wouldn't. Your question is, what happens if you're davening Mincha on a fast day and it's after Shkia? The Ila, yeah, okay. We say it after Shkia. If you don't do Birkat Kohanim,
say.
I guess, do we? Okay.
I did.
Okay. It's a good question. Can you add some? Because he's not. Yeah. Yeah, because it's not really Birkat Kohanim. Okay.
When there's
duchening at Mincha,
then he says Zim Shalom as well. Yeah.
Well, on a fast day, there's going to be on a fast day, there's going to be Kriyat Torah at Mincha. So you would. Yes, that's why on Shabbos Mincha, the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael is we say Zim Shalom at Shabbos Mincha. Because art scroll doesn't have it. I checked. My wife didn't know because my wife has been davening for an art scroll since she came to Israel. And then I gave her a Koran and she's like, what's this? And I said, what do you mean? That's what we do. And although she's davening at home, so I don't know if that changes things because if she doesn't have the Kriyas HaTorah. What? Yes. Yes. Because of the simcha of Kriyas HaTorah. The Rama says. I'm pretty sure that's the reason you say Shim Shalom. Do we say Shim Shalom and Neila? I guess.
Yeah, definitely say Shim Shalom and
Neila. I wonder if the Kriyat HaTorah of Mincha is. Maybe, I don't know. Could be either one. It's a good point. Although it would be funny that it's the Birkat Kohanim that does that because that's your silent Shmoneh Esrei, which you haven't even done Birkat Kohanim yet. Okay. Tzarei Chiyun. 10th man of your minion leaves in the middle of the silent Ma'ariv Amidah. What's the Chazan allowed to say according to the Rama? Now this is according to the Mishnah Berurah because the Rama doesn't say this. What's the answer? Only the Kaddish before Alein. For Aleinu, which is Titkabel, right. According to the Mishnah Berurah, what should you do if you only get a pair of tefillin after the Chazan will finish Chazarat HaShabbat? I told you this is important to know. I'll check. What's the answer, though? The answer is...
The answer was C.
Yes, a lot of people got this wrong. I remember now.
I said B.
I definitely said it.
Hold on.
Where is it? I'm checking how many. 14.3% got it right. That is the worst question. That's the worst question. No, but it's definitely right.
Give us the name of the person who got it
right. Wait until you get the tefillin, and then you recite the brachas because you're not going to miss anything. You're only missing tefillah b'tzibur. We said this. Not lying about your tefillin is more important than missing tefillah b'tzibur. The only one who could possibly disagree is Rav Moshe Sternbach, who says the whole din doesn't apply anymore. But that's not how we pass.
Rav Dain, just going back to a question of the previous question, the 10th person leaving. Yeah. So that's the Rav Moh who says that you say the first Kaddish, but not the Kaddish after Radeinu. What does the Shulchan Aruch say?
The Shulchan Aruch does not mention the case, but we can assume that since even in the morning he doesn't let you go until Kaddish Titkabel at the end of Shacharis, he wouldn't let you go until Kaddish Titkabel at the end of Maariv. At least that's how Rav Avadia says it. Which is why really it shouldn't have quoted the Rama, it should have quoted the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Rama. Because the Rama doesn't say it either. It's just extrapolated. Question 50. According to the Shulchan Aruch, if you are standing outside the shul and are the 10th man, are you able to complete the minyan?
Yeah,
you can
see
them. If you're, it looks like you're trying to join them, you can see them and they can see you. You're allowed to wrap your tefillin and fold your talis during the Kaddish that's after Halinim. So this is a big joke because everybody wrote false, but everybody does true, right? Let's be honest. I mean, who's going to not? I mean, I feel bad doing it, but on the other hand, it's definitely not begam in the Kavanah. Is it the begam in Kavod? Maybe, but.
I've already finished wrapping my film before it's here.
Okay. No, but this is during Kaddish. You finish davening at the Kotel, and there are four minyanim and four different parts of davening around you. They all reach a point where the congregation answers at the same time. Which minyan should you answer to? The minyan of the Yeshmei Rabba, because Kaddish is bigger than Kedusha. Mm-hmm. What is last time? Kaddish is bigger than Kedusha. Kaddish is more important than Kedusha. So Yeshmei Rabba is more important than answering to Kedusha. Definitely. Kaddish. Yeheshmei Rabba is part of Kaddish. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh is Kedusha. What is the latest time you can recite the Shema and get reward for reciting it on time? Which is what he should have said for the Shemoneh Esrei one. The third end of the fourth hour of the day. Third hour of the day. Third hour of the day. Sorry. Hey. What is the dispute between the Magen Avraham and the Grah with regards to Kriyat Shema? You have to read this one carefully. Let's see how many people got this right. Yes. It's not hard, but it's hard to read. And oh, most people got it right. Oh, there's Hebrew? I don't know. So he missed. He didn't Englishify. He didn't Englishify that one by accident. Should you answer Amen after the Chazan's Bracha of Ava Rabba? Good. I'm glad that he left it like that. Hey. Shulchan Aruch Pasuk, and how many people got that right? I'm curious. 78.6. Okay. Should you answer Amen after the Chazan's Bracha of Arab? The Shulchan Aruch Pasuk is that mitzvot require kavana. Hey, of course.
Yeah.
Most people got that. 92.9. What would you do if you went to shul and shook the lulav without having to kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav? These are cute questions. This one and the next one. What's the answer here? Because it's muchach.
Because you're in shul.
You're in shul. You're shaking the lulav. Obviously, you're trying to perform the mitzvah. The fact that you weren't paying attention is irrelevant because your kavana, we force kavana on you. That's the chayei adam. That was the chayei adam. It's not, he thinks that everybody agrees with that. What do you mean? You did say the bracha, I think.
Doesn't say you said the bracha. So what you didn't say? Here it just says without having the bracha.
I assume
that when you say you don't have
that, if you're really shaking it, like you picked it up and went like this, and even if you didn't say the bracha, you were yotzei. Yeah. 71.4%.
And if I don't know the bracha, that doesn't excuse me from the mitzvah. I'll do it.
Certainly not.
Either I'll find out the bracha or I'll do it without the bracha.
That's right. This is the other side of it. On the first day of Sukkot, you're awakened by a 7-year-old who is super excited. Show me how to shake the lulav. And so you just show him how to shake the lulav. And here the answer is no. Because they require C. Is it C? No, D. Yeah, D.
No, C is the right answer. I said
C is the right answer. Okay, yeah. Yeah, C is better. Okay. Although C and D are pretty similar.
Yeah. You intended to teach a child, and you didn't intend.
Yeah. I guess it's not because your surrounding actions are indicative. There's no surrounding action. Okay. What should you do if you went to shul and recited all of Shema without thinking about the meaning of the words? So here, I assume people got this wrong, right? Some people got this wrong, no?
Yeah, I thought it was B.
Yeah, 21.4%. This is the second worst, 21.4%. Yeah. Why? Because what was the right answer? C.
But I thought you had, don't give it. What's the obligation to say?
The core obligation is the first paragraph of Shema.
What about the third paragraph? Is it the third paragraph?
Third paragraph is the least obligatory.
I thought it was just the first pasuk that was actually Markev.
Right, that's what I threw most people, right?
You have to have it in order, yes.
But the Mishnah Berurah said that the first pasuk and the first paragraph go together. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah said.
It was too close to the question about the middle. That was the second worst. You can't be
just by doing it in school because you're in the right place. Oh, I see. No, but you forgot that Shema needs Kavana. Needs the first order Kavana. It needs first order Kavana. It needs to, you know, you need to know what you're saying. You're reciting the Shema during Ma'ariv and the Chazan Rejus Kaddish. Should you answer? Yes. Those are the two main ones. Good. Okay. Short answer.
I just thought it was being Prakim, but it sounds even in the middle of the paragraph.
Yeah. So, short answers. Is there an obligation done with a minion? So, a lot of people only mention the Rambam or only mention the Tur. It does say explicitly in the question to mention the Rambam and the Tur. So some people wrote full answers. Some people was less than full answers. Okay. So, the Rambam says that it is a good thing, but not necessarily an obligation. And the Tur clearly says that it's an obligation. He doesn't even leave it open to discussion. B, what we were looking for was that you should mention that the Shulchan Aruch in one place says Yishtadel, but in the other place mentions the din of the fact that you have to walk a meal in order to find the minyan. So on the one hand, Yishtadel implies that he holds like the Rambam. On the other hand, the fact that you have to walk a meal, which the Rambam doesn't even mention as a halakha, seems to say that it's obligatory. So Rav Moshe comes along and he says, Yishtadel, in a situation where you don't have to go to a minyan, you should still try to go. So, for example, if you're ba'onis, or if you're more than a meal. There were other explanations, but that was Rav Moshe. What is considered davening with a minyan? Everybody got this. Everybody got this. The three opinions. Mishnah Berurah says, you start with the congregation. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you got in there during Tfilah Belachash, and the Chazon Ish says you got in there while somebody was still davening. Is the obligation to daven biblical or rabbinic? Many people wrote, it's fine, I think at least two people wrote, the Rambam thinks it's biblical and the Rambam thinks it's rabbinic. At least two people wrote that. But it's okay because they...
Typo!
Yeah, but it was clear afterwards what happened, so I didn't take off points for that. The Rambam thinks that it is biblical, and Ramban thinks that it is rabbinic.
Wasn't that in what first question earlier?
No, that was about Birkas Torah. It's reversed, yes. Mm-hmm. How is the obligation fulfilled? Or you remember it by getting to know the Rambam and Ramban. Once you get to know the Rambam and Ramban, it makes it easier to remember these things. How is the obligation fulfilled? So here, this is where the question answer gets murky. Like, what were you supposed to write? So what you were supposed to write was, according to the Rambam, the obligation is fulfilled with Shevach Bakasha V'Hodah. And according to the Ramban, the obligation is fulfilled through the Amidah. Three times a day. Some people were two times a day. It didn't matter. That's like the biblical obligation. Yeah. Is that what you mean? But
it's reason. That's rabbinic.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the obligation to daven, like nowadays. I hear what you're saying. I guess that was unclear. You could have made that more clear. I hear what you're saying. Are women obligated to daven? If yes, how do they fulfill the obligation? If no, why not? So here, what we were expecting was the Shulchan Aruch says that women are obligated to daven. And the Mishnah Berurah, but they're only obligated to say Shevach Bakasha V'Hoda'a, right? Not to say the Amidah at all, which is what the Magen Avraham says. And the Mishnah Berurah says, no, the minhag is like the Ramban, that they have to daven two times a day. And then they're putter when they're doing other things. Do women recite a bracha for a mitzvah zaseh shasman gram? So this is good stuff to know. So here the answer is that the Shulchan Aruch says, no, they do not generally. And the Ramah says, yes, they do, which is based on the Rambam and Rav Yehudah. And the reason why they would not is because it says Vitzivanim, and they can't say that. The reason why we would is either because they're part of Klal Yisrael or because we don't care that they're lying, which we didn't really talk about. That is actually more likely that that's the answer than the first thing. But at least according to Rabbeinu Tam. But fine, leave that alone. Leave that alone. And B, do women recite Birkas HaTorah? Here, the answer is universally yes. The only question is, why, according to the Shulchan Aruch? Although I would have accepted both according to the Shulchan Aruch and according to the Ramah. According to the Ramah, there's no question. Of course, they should say the Birkas HaTorah. They say all brachot. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, there were at least a few different things you could have said. You could have said, because they have to learn the halachas that apply to them. You could have said that they have to recite karbanos. Or you could have said, because it's a Birkas HaShavach and a Birkas HaMitzvah. If you arrive late to Shua and you skip either Pesukah Dezember or Birkas HaShavach, which you skip? Almost everybody got this right, even though I think it's totally counterintuitive. Some people quoted Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach as saying that you should say Birkas HaShachar and skip Pesukah Dezember. The thing is, the Mishnah Berurah says you should never skip Pesukah Dezember. But okay, fine. That presumably this is, if you're going to miss Zman. When arriving late to Shul and skipping parts of Pesukah Dezember, what is the order of precedence? So here we got a variety of answers because, like, some people just gave the short answer, or some people gave the longer answer. So here the answer was, the core answer is Baruch Sha'amar Asher Yishtabach. Then you add on some of the Halalukas. It would have been nice if you mentioned Nishmas and Shabbos. That was kind of important. But there's a variety of ways to answer that question. You are the Chazan for Shachris. How many people need to finish in order for you to begin Chazaras HaShachris? So here, for Shachris, the correct answer should be 9. You should wait for 9 to finish. Does the number change if you're a Chazan for Ma'ariv? Yes, it does. How many do you need to finish for Ma'ariv? Only 5 people plus you.
Also, 5 people?
Because in Ma'ariv, you're only waiting for Kaddish. And for Kaddish, you just need 10 Jews in the room.
It's not confusing, but there's an error in the question.
Which is?
Chazaras HaShachris from Ma'ariv. How many people do you
need
for Chazaras HaShachris?
You're right.
And how many do you need for
Ma'ariv? You're right.
That's not confusing. I mean,
you know the meaning.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Now he says, be sure to discuss the discrepancy in the Shulchan Aruch and the two ways to reconcile the contradiction, which a lot of people didn't do. But what was the problem? The problem is that in our Seif that we were reading, he says you need to wait for 9. Sorry, in our Seif, he says you need to wait for 6. And in a different Seif by, I think Mincha, or it might have just been in Shacharis, I forget, he says that you need to wait for 9 so that you won't have Bikarov Lebracha Levatala. And there it sounds like you need 9. So there were two ways of dealing with that discrepancy. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's answer was that one of them is talking about Kaddish, and one of them talking about Shechazaras HaShachris, which is how you should have read the first answer, first part of the answer. But there is an alternative. The Drisha says that no, it's just talking about the Chatchila V'Di'evid. That he says that you could start with only 6, even for Shechazaras HaShachris. It's just V'Di'evid. It's not what you should do, which a lot of people do when you're crunching, when time crunching. That's what people do. And that is the test. Shakoch for everybody who took it. Everybody who didn't is not on the Zoom, I hope. I will say the following. I looked at other tests. I look at other Rebbeim and their tests. And I am a stricter grader than everybody else. I saw wrong answers given full credit in some of the other Chaburas. I wanted to look at some of the people who did. No, not multiple choice. In the short answers, I looked at like people who did really well because I wanted to see, okay, what do people who did really well, what do they write? And people who did really badly, I wanted to see, okay, what do they look like? Like, are there really people who just don't know anything? Or, I mean, maybe they didn't come to the shiur, they're just taking the test. And I noticed that people who did really well, some of them did really well, even though some of their answers were wrong. Like, they'll quote wrong people or they'll say the wrong things. And, I was surprised. They got smicha from Chashuv Rabbanim. So it could be one of two things. It could be that some of these Rebbeim had a lot more tests to grade than I did, or they have a lot more things to do in their life than I do, or it could be that they wanted to be lenient because they wanted to give people good grades. I think you guys all got good grades on your own. It could be. It could be, although I was the monitor in college, and I was a strict.
Right, you walked test for my apartment.
It's true. And I couldn't do what I did then. But I did that when I was marking Bible tests for my Bible teacher. And because it was after I graduated, although I may have even been in college when I did it. And at a certain point, I felt bad because I would, on the front page of the test was the name. Some of these guys I knew. I have friends of mine. And so what I did at some point was I had Sonia make an Excel spreadsheet, write and associate basically a number with the name, and then fold over the front page so that I didn't have to look at the name. And instead, I would do the number. So that when I was grading the test, I had no idea whose test it was. And then I would input the numbers, but then I would have to input it with the names, and then I would have to pass it on. But at least while I was grading the test, I didn't need to know who was taking the test. But I couldn't do that here because the name was on the test.
I have to say, if we compare what we know, the Shabbos test is a lot more testing. And this was like, it was wordy.
You think so? Yeah. I mean, look back at the test. I mean, I don't know if you can. Maybe you can look back at the test and see. You found it more difficult than the first test. You guys argued. You guys argued about some of the tests, the questions in the last test too. When I went over it, you said, "Oh, I didn't like this question. I didn't like this question, and it could have been read this way, it could have been that way." I agree with you about a few of these. And the click many to apply where it's only one answer, that's not good. That's not good.
You still remember that?
32. When does Abba Tolam and Abba Rabba act as Berkas HaTorah? The answer was D. Even if you did not learn. So why is it not that way? Why did the Mishnah Berurah paskin that even if you did not learn after Avar Abba, you're still good? Because he said there's a machlokes about whether or not Shema itself counts as limud Torah, pasuk in the Torah, right? So some said, I think the Gra says, I may be misremembering, I think the Gra says it doesn't count because you're not reading it as a chefza of Talmud Torah, right? But the Mishnah Berurah says, but there are those who disagree. So he says, gathering everything together, you don't have to say Berkas HaTorah again.
Yeah, I forget. That's right. So there is an opinion that learning, that reciting Shema.
Yeah. So that was what I wanted to say about the test. Right away?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So Martin's pointing out that the class marker doesn't know that one of the short answers is discounted. You only have to answer 4 out of 5. But the number, a total number of points includes 5 out of 5. But that's just, that doesn't matter. So the percentage will be off. The percentage is off. But you don't look at the percentage, you're looking at the points. The points is out of 108. Which
so
also
the passing grade is an absolute number of points, not a percentage.
Yeah, 65.
It was 115, wasn't it? If you got
the number of points that class marker has, 115. But really, the maximum amount of points that you could get, or that I would, that's the other thing. The maximum points that I would give you is 108. Those are the maximum amount of points that you could get. 108. I also noticed that some of the rebbeim didn't discount the fifth answer. Yeah. I also noticed that, which is why once I noticed that, I just verified with Rav Eliyahu, I'm not supposed to give them 5 out of 5, right? And he said no. And I didn't say, well, some of them are bam, are giving me 5 out of 5. So I noticed that. I know. Look, my personal opinion is that. And I think a lot of people agreed. I think we should have skipped Kufnun Aleph, and I think we should have kept going into Shmon Esrei.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to talk to him about that. But that's what I think. Like Kufnun Aleph was fun. It was good, but it was, yeah. Yeah, there was very little. There was like 9 questions on Kufnun Aleph. Okay. So I thought what we do with some of the remaining time is we learn a sugya that got skipped, also a sugya that interested me, something that I felt like I had a hand, I was able to ask the question because of the halachos that we learned. So let me pose this. This is the question, okay? 6:15 minyan. You get to the 6:15 minyan, and there are only 9 men, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. The minyan started at 6:15, and it is now 6:30, and you're up to yishtabach, whatever. You're up to yishtabach, and you're the chazan up to yishtabach, and you're waiting, and you're hopeful that there's another man coming. What do you do now? Where? Let me ask you this question: where do you stop, and what do you do?
Another thought. Why is it that we switch Chazanim on Shabbat morning before they set the bar? We switch like
Yishtabach?
Yishtabach.
We should, in theory, we should switch at Nishmat.
Nishmat should be the right.
Really switch at Nishmat because that's the beginning of Yishtabach.
Why?
Yours,
so
during the week, we would switch at Yishtabach as well. So I think I can give an answer. I can give it a little bit of an answer to that. It's related to this. That's right.
Yeah, it's the bracha that ends your sukkah.
You're right.
You can't just hang it back waiting to say Yishtabach.
So there's more to it than that.
When you have to say Yishtabach, you have to wait.
So there's more.
Does Chazan say the Tanakh after Yishtabach, or does the first Chazan say the Tanakh after Yishtabach?
Well, which would you prefer?
Because the Tanakh is for the use of the Tanakh. It should be the first. And then that's the new unit.
Okay, but let's do my question first.
No, but even with your
question, where do you wait? Where do you wait?
Even with your question.
So there's the two options, right? The two options are for the chazan. Let's say, do you wait at the end of Az Yashir, or do you wait, or do you say Yishtabach and then wait?
Feels like you should wait before Yishtabach. Then when minyan comes, you say Yishtabach, and because otherwise you can say Yishtabach. Then can't say Arminyan. Then the 10th person that comes, you can say that Kaddish.
What's the Kaddish for, though?
Kaddish is the end of Yishtabach.
The Kaddish is Pesuk Dezember, though, right?
Yeah.
So, but you can't wait.
That your tenth man wasn't there when you made the bracha.
The tenth man doesn't have to be there for the bracha.
Kaddish is 12 Dezember. That's sort of the separation of Dezember. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Separated from
Yishtabach. Let me ask you another question. What if you're not the Chazan? Does it change? If you're not the Chazan, do you wait at the end of Pesukim Dezimra, or do you go ahead and say Yishtabach?
And then wait for the minyan to bar.
Yeah.
Wait.
From what we've learned,
you wait where, Mark?
Before Yishtabach. You say finish.
So you should wait at Az Yashir and not say Yishtabach.
You finish Az Yashir, then you wait until Yishtabach. No.
That's what we do, but it's why? Because it's more that earth negative than
earth. So here's a funny one. How long do you wait? It sounds like funny that I'm asking this as a halachic. How long do you wait? Like you're waiting for a tenth man. How long do you wait? There's a halachic answer to this, and then there's a practical answer to this.
A mil.
You're close. I mean, that's not the right answer, but you're right that there is a defined. Kind of, yeah. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch Nun Gimel. Okay, Nun Gimel, I'm reading. See, Fala says, Omer Shliach Shibur Yishtabach Me'umad. He says it's standing, which is apparently a Chiddush, by the way. And in fact, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he points out that they used to not, because they used to just start with the Kaddish. Nowadays, we say all psukim d'zimra and Yishtabach, so we stand up for Yishtabach. In principle, you don't have to stand for Yishtabach according to the Shulchan Aruch. Like, you person, you're a private person, I don't know what Sfaradim do. I have a feeling they don't. Yeah, if you're sitting at home, you don't have to stand for Yishtabach according to the Shulchan Aruch.
When I happened in Shtigl and Baruch, we did not stand for Yishtabach.
There you go. But you stood up for Kaddish and Baruch. Ein lomar yishtabach elim kein amar baruch shamar uksat pesukei dezimra. Oh, I didn't ask this question. Okay, let me ask another question. You're the 10th man. You come rushing in. Yeah? You come rushing in, and they say, because you're late, yalla, you're going to be chazi. Put on your tefillin and get up there and say, Yishtabach.
Yishtabach.
You're going to Kaddish. So can you do that? Anybody who didn't learn this with us, yeah, I mean, I say, put on my tefillin and Yishtabach, and then you cannot say Yishtabach without having said Baruch
Shemah
and a few psukim, at least a few of Psuki de Zimra, and then you can say Yishtabach. You cannot say Yishtabach on its own. It doesn't go.
You don't have to say the whole of Ashrei, just a few psukim would.
It says not Psuki de Zimra. No, because you're on Bitircha de Tzibura if they ask you to be Chazan. You don't want to stand there saying Ashrei. You say a few psukim and then you jump in. Okay? Ein levarach. Yeah. Now here's the key. Ein levarach al tifat tzitzit beim psukim dezemer liyishtabach al ben yishtabach liyotzer. It always shows up tzitzit tefillin. Let's say you were saying all psukim dezemer and then at the end of psukim dezemer they gave you a talis. It's time to put this on. When do you make the bracha on the talis? Before yishtabach or after yishtabach? You're in the middle of psukim dezemer. Can you make a bracha on the talis now, or do you do it after yishtabach? What do you do? So the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't say it during Psukei Dezimra, rather after Yishtabach. He said after Yishtabach, you say the bracha on the tzitzis, on the talis. It could be after Kaddish. Could be after Kaddish. I think it's probably after Kaddish. But the Ramah jumps in, and this is from the Darkei Moshe as well. Miu ha-shaliach tzibur. The Ramah introduces the idea that there is a difference between the Shalech Tzibur and the layman and the person who's not Shalech Tzibur. He says the Shalech Tzibur, he says the bracha on the tzitzit before Yishtabach, but if you as an individual, you say it after Yishtabach. Okay? You get a talis, somebody showed up with your talis, your child came to shul with your talis, and you're in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, you don't stop in the middle of Psukei Dezimra and put on the talis and say a bracha. You get to Yishtabach, then do it. No, you would put it on with the bracha after, because you can't say the bracha once you put it on.
Is that because the chazan is supposed to have a talis on to say Kaddish? Is that the
no? It's because we don't want the chazan to have a hefsek between Yishtabach and Kaddish.
You can say Kaddish without talis.
No, but he's going to put on the talis. He's going to put on the talis. So he should put on the talis before that.
You can put the talis on after Kaddish.
Because it's not appropriate for him to be pausing while everybody's waiting. Here we go. This is the halacha. This is mentioned by the Ma'aril. The 615 minyan is not the first one to have this problem. This is already back in the 13th century. Okay? The Ramah quotes the Ma'aril. This halacha. Im ein minyan bevet haknesset, yamtin hashaliach tzibur im yishtabach, v'yishtok ad sheyavo minyan, v'yomar yishtabach v'kaddish. So what does that mean? The shaliach tzibur waits at Az Yashir, meaning at the end of Az Yashir, and then he waits at Az Yashir, at the end of Az Yashir, then when the minyan shows up, he says yishtabach. You should probably say a pasuk or two before Yishtabach, just to get the Yishtabach in on a pasuk. And then he says Kaddish. Why? Because the Shaliach Tzibur should not have a pause between Yishtabach and Kaddish, and the Kaddish to Baruch. Okay? But Mishnah Berurah says, Yafeh. Everybody else, Yamtin HaShaliach Tzibur. Here. So here he gives the explanation, Don. It's not appropriate for the tzibur to be waiting while he's putting on a talis and making a bracha. Which, by the way, people who are doing Kabbalah Shabbos, right, should put on the talis before they get up there. If you're doing anything, you have to put a talis on. You should put the talis on before you get up there. It's appropriate. וגם הקדיש קי על ישתבח. And the קדיש goes on ישתבח. Okay, יתתף תחפך בתלית, בועדים בתפילין, ויברך, during פסוקת הזרמה. אך אם לא הביא לו התלית, עד לאחר שגומר ישתבח, if you have no choice, and you didn't get the talit until after ישתבח, קודם שמר הקדיש, יכול להניח שם, ולברך, והקל ימתינו, פה ויהיה אפשר בלהפכי, כמו שהתבייר, meaning you would put it on even before קדיש. Okay? However, ימתין השליח צירו כדי שיהיה יוכל להסמיך לו אחר כך קדיש מיד, אבל היחיד יאמר ישתבח מיד. וכן בשבת, here it's surprising, not surprising, but this is interesting. This is interesting. This is really הלכה למעשה. So everything I've said right now is just circumstantial, okay? If you don't have a minion, this is what you should do. So the Shaleach Tzibur goes only up until Az Yashir, and then he pauses. Everybody else goes straight through to Yishtabach, and they finish Yishtabach, and then they wait there. And the Aruch HaShulchan says you can learn. It says that. It says if you're waiting there and you're just sitting there, you can learn. You don't have to just do nothing. But you shouldn't be chatting, of course. You shouldn't be chatting. And certainly the Shaleach Tzibur shouldn't be chatting. Here's something that comes up. Every Shabbos. What do you do on Shabbos? Why? What happens differently on Shabbos?
Nishmat.
And not just Nishmat. Even after Nishmat, you've got Shochen Ad. And should you be waiting with the Chazan for him to finish everything? He's going to be singing. He's singing Shochen Ad. He's singing Makalad Ravot. But you're not singing it with him. What should you be doing? The Mishnah Berurah says, בשבת, אם גמר פסוק דזמר, קודם השליח ציבור, יאמר ישתבח מיד. It sounds like going to Mishnah Berurah, if I'm not mistaken, according to the Aruch HaShulchan as well. You don't wait around while the Chazan is singing. You go. Yeah. Of course. But you just say it. If you want to, you can sing it. You can sing it with the Shlech Zibur if you want, because you can do that. That's your pace. Right.
Correct.
So he says, here, I'll read you the Aruch HaShulchan. וזה לשליח ציבור, אבל כל יחד בפני עצמו, לא יפסיק בשתיקה, ויאמר ישתבח מיד אחר פסוק דזמרה, וכן בשבת, כשהשליח ציבור מעריך בנשמת, או בשוכנד, כל יחיד יגמור, גם ברכת ישתבח, ולא יפסיק בשתיקה, ודאי לכתחילה אין להפסיק כלל, החשץ מוכרח להפסיק כשצריך, ולא כן כל יחיד. Okay, now if you want to sing, you want to sing with the Shaleach Tzibur, zchutcha. That's your pace. You want your pace to be in line with the Shaleach Tzibur, fine. But if you've already said Umikalot, and now the Chazan is singing, you should just go through Yishtabach. That's what the Haskamata Poskim is. The only other thing he mentions that's interesting that I said, you know, how long do you have to wait? So the Mishnah, so it's the, on the books, a half hour.
Wait, how many?
Yes. Why? Why? Because, meaning that's the maximum. That's the maximum you wait. Why? Because that's the time it would take to say Pesukei Dezimra. I know that sounds funny. But elsewhere, the Mishnah Berurah says that's how long Pesukei Dezimra is supposed to take. Elsewhere, the Mishnah Berurah says it's supposed to take a half hour. And the idea is, just like with the Megillah, you know the halachas of the Megillah, that if you sleep or miss or pause for the amount of time that it takes to read the whole Megillah, then you have to read it again. So if you pause in Pesukei Dezimra for the amount of time it takes to say Pesukei Dezimra, then you pass over to Pesukei Dezimra, you have to say it again. So that's the maximum amount of time. So at that time, you can give up. Now, nowadays, if you're at a minyan which has a set time, and you know that if people don't show up within 15 minutes at the beginning of the minyan, nobody's showing up after that because people are just going to go to another minyan. They're not going to go to show up later than that. On a regular Shacharis minyan that you know is only 40 minutes long, people aren't showing up 30 minutes in. So you could just continue because you know nobody's showing up. Or go find another minion. That's also an option. But by the way, before you go find another minion, you should have already said Yishtabach.
Well, at the university, you give the professor 7 minutes.
It's not 20? In high school, it was 20. 20-minute rule. We had a word for it.
I used to have a 20-minute.
We had a word in America. We had a word for it. 20-minute rule. Yeah, one time we got in trouble for running out of the class after 20 minutes. We were making our way down the stairs and the teacher came up. 70.
The orchestra, the symphony in Detroit, and as well as New York, the Philharmonic, would give a 7-minute grace period if the concert was 8 o'clock, 8:07.
Meaning they would start late.
In
my yeshiva, mincha was called for 2:45, meaning you had lunch and then a break until 2:45, and Seder started at 3. And they never started at 2:45. They started at 2:48 or something like that. And it was I asked them on their band, and he said it was on purpose. Because they didn't want people to feel like they were coming in late. They knew people were going to come late. So they said, we started at 2:45. We're not yakis. We started at 2:48 and give people the chance to get there and dive it.
6:15 minyan. There's no minyan after 15 minutes. So you've already got to
Shabbat. I go to Yavlin.
You daven up to Shabbat.
Yeah.
And then you go to Yavna and then doing something is in. So then what?
You wait. You learn. You wait.
Kaddish,
yeah.
You wait for the Kaddish, basically. That's when you join in.
Right.
And this is
right. And by the way, again, if you're roped into being the chazan, you need to say Baruch Shamar, Psukah Dezimra, and Yishtabach. You don't say all Psukah Dezimra. You have to say something.
And at the same 6:15 minyan, if I'm going there early because I have to be at work at 7:30, so something like that.
Right.
And if there's no minyan, I'm just going to stay there and daven.
Yeah, of course.
In shul, do I still count as a minyan after the 10th person comes in?
You're still there.
Still there. Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, but you've gotten yourself in trouble because now if you leave, you're breaking the Shekhinah. It's not good. Was there anything else that I wanted to do over here? Yeah, so it's pointed out that according to Mishnah Berurah, the Kaddish, it's not really only on Psukei Dezimra, it's on Yishtabach, because Yishtabach is the end of that piece of tefillah. So it's not like you can just make a big break between Yishtabach and Kaddish, because the Kaddish is on the back of Yishtabach. It's the capstone that brings in the Kaddish. Let's see, Shah.
We still haven't answered the question that Don asked before. Why do we...
Yes.
Why do you switch Chazan at the Shtava? Suppose that is it. It would make, according to what we just said, it would make more sense to be the Kaddish and the Fadhi of the Boss.
Okay.
Between the Kaddish and Borgo, that's when you make the switch.
You definitely can't make the switch after Yishtabach because the Yishtabach owns the Kaddish. And you shouldn't, because you can't pause between Kaddish and Baruch Hu.
So the Kaddish and people, we have to Baruch Hu?
No.
That's a different union. Baruch Hu is on Yotzer Or. Yeah.
Why on Shabbos do we not make the switch to
Nishmat? Nishmat, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe because it's in the middle, so you're in the middle of the elongated Yishtabach, you make the switch. Mark, what do you think? Why don't we switch at Nishmat? Still here?
I'm still here.
Why don't we switch at Nishmat on Shabbos?
You mean as opposed to Shochinat?
Yeah. Because Nishmat is the elongated Yishtabach.
He says Yishtabach.
He says.
But it's a Shochinat. Says.
The Shochinat is
not
the end of.
The Shochinat
part of
Nishma. Is it actually? Yeah. Is it formally part of that?
I don't know. I would assume.
Maybe it's from the fact you start on the altar and Rosh Hashanah. Again, because of Shabbat, so you start in the same.
the same section.
Maybe. I don't know.
So it looks like you have to start at another
I don't know. Oh, this is important. This is important. Okay, so Tzarechion on that. This is important. Listen to this Mishnah Brura. The case where somebody comes in, you get the 10th man, and then you want to say Yishtabach, right? So here the Mishnah Brura says, Yishtabach v'kaddish, b'diavad. Im gamar gam ken birkat yishtabach ve'akarkach ba'al minyan. Let's say you gave up and you said yishtabach, the chazan. He says yishtabach, and then the minyan shows up. Now what? Yamru al kopanim shloshah psukim besukah dezimra v'yuchal hashatz lomar kaddish. Good question, the chazan. Ki belav hachi ein lomar kaddish. Kim shaliu ba'et amirat ksat psukah dezimra yishtabach al kopanim.
So you can repeat the last psukim of Yashir, for example.
Yeah, you can say anything. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. Then
and then you say the chatzit kaddish. In this case, it's been disconnected from the yishtabach, but it still counts. That's it. All right. Next week, we're going to start Nida. Bezrat Hashem, the sets will be here, but the single krachim will not. But I can send out a link to both PDFs of the Shulchan Aruch, and Sfaria has it in, has it, they have it on Sfaria. In fact, Sfaria is the only existing English translation of this section of the Shulchan Aruch that I'm aware of. Because they've translated the entire Shulchan Aruch, and there's no English edition of this section of the Shulchan Aruch in print. What? Sefaria, yeah. Sefaria. So you can use that as well. We are also going to be learning Hilchot Mezuzah. I don't know if I made that clear to everybody. Hilchot Mezuzah is going to be the subject of the comics and all the questions for the table. We're not going to have comics about Hilchot Nida. And you're not going to talk about that at the table. So we'll spend, I think, the last 15 minutes we'll dedicate to Hilchot Mezuzah. It's built in. Anything else that I wanted to say? I don't think so. That's it.
A lot of practical question happened to me on Friday afternoon. I was really confused, and I can't think of where to learn that to, you know. So I can let him in now. And there we go. There's a lot of shots upstairs. In about in the middle, just be, you know, whatever, before middle. And I saw there were other people davening as well, but I couldn't work out how far in they were.
Right.
So now I had to decide, I'm going to get in each one of the Chadomesh.
Right.
Or do I wait for Murim Rabbanan, the Kaddish of the Chazal Hashatz, and then the Kaddish of the Alem.
Right.
So what I did was I waited for Modim Ravanan and
right.
The Kaddish of that. There were four people davening. But I wasn't sure that we were still be davening when the Kaddish of the Alem would come.
Right.
So then I lost my nerve.
So I know what's on the books is that Kaddish is more important, but I don't have the heart to show up at shul. I want to say Shmon Esrei. Yeah, you know.
You
can be silent. You can't respond to Kaddish. Be silent. You can stop. But that's not what's suggested. That's not the right thing. Right. Your question about Rinu Kaddish is maybe it's a little bit different because it's not an Ikar Kaddish. So maybe. Like you could have walked out. Like you could have walked out. You could have walked out for that Kaddish. I know. What I'm saying is that theoretically, you don't even need to hear that Kaddish.
But then, if you wait for the time to start the Baruch Hashas, then because
and you say it with him.
You wait. Can you say the Kedusha out loud?
You can say the first two psukim. You can say Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Shem Kol Malchuto Le'olam Ve'ed, and then that's what. I always get them confused. You're right. Whichever one it is. And then that's it. And you shouldn't say Yimloch, and you shouldn't say any of the extra stuff in between. And after that...
I prefer than jumping in and getting into the when the producer comes up to standing still.
It's better to wait for the
Tazim. In principle, it's better to wait, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very people just come
right in. Yeah, that's what most people do.
Yeah.
Today at Mincha, I came in, I expected to be extremely late because I came late. And then I found that everybody was still in their tefillah b'lachash, and I looked over the shoulder of the chazan, and he was at the beginning. So I said, oh, okay, great. I was like 7 minutes late. You guys must have not started on time. I still didn't make it for kedusha, but that's just because my shmonasri is a little bit long. But it would have been the same if I had been on time.
This morning at Shabbos, I came in late, and I was trying to start the. To an answer together with the Tzibur, he was so fast.
His silent Manasseh is so fast?
Yeah, Tzibur was Kadurah.
Oh, okay.
He was so fast that he got to Kedusha way before Ezra. I was still.
You're still, fast. Meaning you started at the same time?
We started at the same time.
Really?
He was so fast I couldn't keep up with him.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay.
I found something on Shochanad, by the way, online.
What you found on Shochanad?
Because it also says, the question is also, why Hakel B'Tatzu Motu Zecha on Yom Tov and why HaMelech on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Shabbos is the culmination of Ma'aseh B'Reishit. Shochenad Maron V'Kadosh Shemo is sort of symbolic of B'Reishit. Hakel B'Tatzu Motu Zecha is Yetziyah Mitzrayim.
Okay.
Right? All the Yom Tovim are Zecha Yetziyah Mitzrayim. And then HaMelech is HaMelech on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So Shochenad is, those words symbolize.
Is it part of Nishmat? Is it meant to be part of Nishmat?
Yeah. I mean, it's all part of Nishmat. Nishmat is the entire tefillah that ends David Ben Ishaya Avdech HaMashichecha before.
We're wondering why you don't switch at the beginning of Nishmat.
Right, even with that rationale, we're starting in the middle of Nishmat.
Right. Yeah, you're starting in the middle of Nishmat all the time. It's just why Shochenad then, and Hakel B'Tatzu Motu Zecha then, and why HaMelech. I don't know why the Chazan wouldn't start at Nishmat, the beginning of Nishmat, for all of them.
Right. Mark, where did you find that?
I just googled it, and something from an excerpt from the art scroll Siddur came up, and something else that Rav Sachs said. Similar lines.
Good. All right, everybody, shakar. Have a good night. It's for the record, almost every other chabura has started already, maybe even 2 or 3 weeks in. But okay.